Lord, we humble ourselves before you as members of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, calling on you to help us strive to be the men that your word and our ritual challenges us to be. With your assistance and guidance, we can overcome those obstacles that get in the way of us reaching our potential as men and as members. Hold us with your mighty hand so that we can be who you would have us be and do what you would have us do. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my brothers, what a marvelous Monday this is. A wonderful opportunity, a new day, a fresh start, a new opportunity to bring bright energy to this blessing that God has given us. And Omega Morning, a day that the Lord has made. Yet today is a day when the God of infinite mercy has chosen to gift us with yet another chance to get it right. The best way I know to get it right is to get right with God. Brothers, I am Roy Johnson, and it pleases me to start our day plugging into the power of prayer, because prayer is our power. Our sacred documents are clear that both past and present grand officers understood that it makes good sense to call on the Lord. That is why it is comforting any morning to have our elected grand officers with us. Our first vice grand bossless Mark Jackson, you heard him come in. Our grand keeper of finance, Johnny Smith, him as well. Our grand keeper of records and seals, Sherman Charles. And our grand counselor, Clement Osemitha. Even the young second vice grand bossless Ryan Thomas has learned to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." We are led by one whose limitless energy inspires us to give our best, and that is GB42 Ricky Lawrence Lewis. And we pray with him, and we pray for him. For he walks in the shoes once worn by grand officers who have not given up on prayer. And that would be GB35 Dorsey Miller and GB40 Antonio Knox, who continue to show up, trusting that persistent conversation with God is the answer to what ails us. Brothers, I'm heartened each morning when I hear the voice of immediate past Grand Chaplain Walter T. Richardson, a man whose bearing I revere and whose countenance I love. We shall never forget that our coming together was initially made possible when former Grand Chaplain Staccato Powell looked at co-founder Ray Johnson with fierce urgency and asked, if not us, then who? If not each morning, then when? If not our daily prayer sent to heaven, then where? Oh, my brothers, we have all learned of black heroes and sheroes who have made a significant difference in the lives of our people across the years. Yet not all our heroes have had their names front page above the fold or were interviewed by CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS. Some touch the lives of individuals one person at a time, as in the life of Brother Rob Warren of the 3rd District. Come now and tell us, Brother Warren, about this hero of yours who saw something good in you and drew it out of you. The line is yours, sir. Unmute, Brother Warren. Now, Brother Warren, you have to unmute your phone and then *6 to unmute the prayer line.
Can you hear me, Brother Graham?
I hear you, my brother.
All right. Technology sometimes is not my friend. Good morning, Brother Grant Johnson. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. Protocol already having been established. My brothers on the prayer line, good morning. I am Brother Rob Warren, 1180 Alpha Chapter, presently a member of Alpha Omega Chapter, 3rd District, Washington, D.C. I was texting with Brother Grant last night and told him that unpacking some of this made me somewhat emotional, because you start looking at, you know, where you, you know, in my 60s, and you look at the journey that you led, and I just looked at so many people who had a hand in my life. You know, my go-to when I talk about my black heroes is always my dad. He's my ultimate hero and forever role model, and he's 85 and still kicking, sometimes literally. But I was staying assignment, and I reached back to my past. I thought about a lot of frat brothers that I've encountered in my almost 43 years in Omega. But I went back to my elementary school days, and I want to talk about a gentleman named Joe Bostic Jr. Started with my parents. My mom started teaching at public PS-174 in Brooklyn, New York, in 1962, and she was quickly appalled at the way in which black boys were quickly marginalized and left behind as academic flotsam. As a young boy, I had a bit of a stutter, which made me somewhat shy. And for those who know me, you know, you can't imagine me not wanting to run my yap. So Catherine and Robert Sr. Found a small black kindergarten through 8th grade private school in the Bushwick section of Brooklyn called Brooklyn Junior Academy. It was kind of a kiddie version of an HBCU owned and operated by Joe Bostic Sr. And black history aside, Mr. Bostic Sr. was also a sports writer and DJ. He was one of the black sports writers who accompanied Jackie Robinson to his first spring training with the Dodgers in 1947. And it was Joe Bostic Sr. and his wife, Dorothy Bostic, who owned and operated Junior Academy, and she served as the principal. The key thing my mom liked about Brooklyn Junior Academy, there was a nurturing place, like the black schools in her hometown of Bessemer, Alabama, where despite obstacles, every adult in the school was committed to helping nurture black children. I matriculated easily for the first part. Then I reached 6th grade and met Joe Bostic Jr., who was my math teacher, and he was also the basketball coach. He was a big guy, big personality, huge personality, but had a true soft spot for young people. So he encouraged me to try for the JV basketball team, but I was content to kind of hang around the sidelines, jacking up shots, you know, and just looking out for myself. And Mr. Bostic pulled me aside. He said, "I see quiet leadership in you. I want you to bring the ball up every time. I want you to get everyone involved." That theme continued when he urged me in 7th grade to run for class president. Mr. Bostic again told me that I had a lot of gifts that I should share with my classmates rather than worrying about getting my A's and hanging out with my small crew of friends. He was even there when things turned left, when a much bigger kid named Gregory Dean, Gregory was about 6'2", easy 180, and 16 years old in the 7th grade. By this time in the 8th grade, I think, he pushed me over a table in the cafeteria. He was taunting me over a girl we both liked, and as Brother Grant Jackson can tell you, that's a common theme in my life, some girl. But we both liked this girl. He pushed me over a table after I called him an overgrown moron, and there was a word in between overgrown and moron that I can't say in this prayer call. So me being the less refined person that I am now, I fell over the table. I had food on my back of my uniform, so I picked up a metal tray and whacked him over the head. I can say by the grace of God, luckily I dazed him enough that he did not have the strength to come after me, because we would probably not be having this call today. Mr. Bostic told my parents and the principal that he would handle the discipline, and I wasn't quite sure what that was. This is back in the days when corporal punishment was allowed in school, so that was the first time someone used a paddle. So Greg and I spent 2 weeks together after school under Mr. Bostic's supervision, just talking, shooting hoops. I learned during these conversations that Gregory had a severe learning disability and a woeful lack of support at home, which attributed to him being almost 3 years behind in school and the bully. So at Mr. Bostic's urging, I tutored Gregory for the rest of the year, and he actually managed to graduate 8th grade with us. And this is when the precept as to whom much is given, much is required manifested itself in me. Joe Bosta Jr. wasn't perfect. Any new lady teacher who came to the school received a little extra attention. I could see that with my 12, 13, 14-year-old eyes. After he and my dad became hanging out buddies, any of my mom's single friends was fair game. But I started to come into my true self with Mr. Bostic sometimes, tough love. You know, he saw something in me, a quiet kid who, you know, I still have my moments and I can just get introspective and be into myself. But I think who a lot of you brothers see today, a lot of that comes, you know, of course my parents are my foundation, but I got a lot of that confidence to speak and to overcome the stutter and to overcome whatever self-confidence issues I got from Joe Bostic Jr. His last glaring imperfection, though, was revealed when I came home after spring break, after going over to Alpha Chapter in March of 1980. Came back to Queens, dripping in royal purple and old gold. He grabbed me and said, "You broke my heart. I always assumed you'd be a Kappa man like me." I said, "Brother Grand, I guess all of our heroes have feet of clay." That's my time, Brother Grand. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for letting me walk down memory lane with you all. And thanks, Mr. Joe Bosta Jr. up there. Wherever Cap is called heaven, I hope I've made you proud. I yield back my time, Brother Grant.
Oh, indeed, you've made us proud. Indeed, Brother Warren, Joe Bosta Jr. of the Gospel Train on WLIB, if I remember.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my brothers, every other Monday from our chaplain of the 3rd District, Brother and Pastor Courtney Lumumba Miller imparts the Word of God to us. He is a friend to all Omega men, and at his best when he is serving our Lord, he always brings to us illumination of God's Word and inspiration to our spirits. Give ear to Brother Miller as he comes before us to lead us and light the way. The line is yours, Chaplain Miller.
God bless you, Brother Grand Chaplain. We're so delighted and preciously pleased to have and count you as friend. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and refreshingly be glad in this spectacular day. We want to acknowledge today is the 37th opportunity for us in 2023 to read God's Word collectively together. We give homage and honor to our brothers from the Left Coast who shared with us the reading of God's Word on last night. Ironically, we have just a brief word of history presentation, and today we'd just like to acknowledge Brother Michael Rutledge DeBond, MD, MPH. Brother DeBond is a professor of pediatric medicine at Vanderbilt University and the J.C. Peterson Endowed Chair and founder of the Vanderbilt Medical Sickle Cell Disease Center of Excellence. He is an internationally renowned medical researcher whose research on sickle cell disease has led to fundamental changes in the treatment of children and adults with sickle cell. He is an elected member of the National Academy of Medicine. He is a recipient of the Stanford University Medical Lifetime Achievement Award, and he is a proud member of Omega Psi Phi Initiative through Alpha Chapter, serving as the second person on that line in 1980, where he could count Brother Robert Clarence Warren Jr. as his line brother. Brother Michael Rutledge DeBond of St. Louis, Missouri, MD, MPH, medical researcher focusing on sickle cell disease. Today's word comes from Leviticus 18 to 20. Leviticus chapters 18 to 20. Very little is said today in the context of our daily word devotional Bible. It can be summed up in two ways. Do not, first phrase, do not, second phrase, I am. In the book of Leviticus, God lays out his plan for humanity, his plan that they would not conform to the world's view, but they might be transformed by godliness, or they might become deformed by trying to do both. We live in a time and a message where being able to multitask is so important to us. but there are some things that God has strict rules regarding. Now let us consider, number one, the book of Leviticus are laws regarding the priests. There are also laws regarding the priests and have been added to by the priests themselves. They are the laws to regard the Levites. Let's consider some simple math. God gave 10 commandments. Those 10 commandments God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. If you look at the book of Leviticus, those commandments have been added to with regulation to the tune of more than 1,100 additional ones. Christ, understanding our propensity not to be able to follow a simple command, lessened the 10 plus the addition and summed it up in two. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. These are the greatest commandments. In chapter number 17 is no different. Chapter number 18 is no different. In chapter number 19 as well. In chapter number 18, it simply relegates 18 times the phrase, do not is written. Moses, God says to Moses to speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. What God is saying with Moses specifically is, some habits you must leave behind, some culturalization you must rid yourself of, some desire to conform to worldliness by being imitators of behaviors that we see are just not acceptable for godly people. That comes by way of transformation and acceptance of new principles, and for believers, the presence of the Holy Spirit. In this chapter, in chapter number 17 and in chapter number 18, it reads like a gold gallery of so many things we hold dear today, particularly in sexual relations. One of the things that is often challenging for us to discuss and talk about in the context of public and or church is how God requires purity and holiness as it relates to sexual relations to one another. Just listen at this gallery of do not. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife that dishonors your dad. Do not have sexual relations with your younger sister. That is one of the commands. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Do not have sexual relations with the daughter of your father's wife, born to your father. She is your sister. And the list goes on and on and on, even until the break of dawn. This list is concise, but for many of us, it would be curious to think, why should God remind us of these things that sound so simple? Well, God reminds us and lists us because that activity went on then, it is still going on now. So often, the things that we shy about or afraid to comment on, God reminds us that they're so important that they should be discussed even today. For God is our God, and we must obey him. Not like the ones when we were out of the world, but now that we have been transformed by the world. Paul said it this way, be ye not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is the service that God is expecting to us. Change doesn't happen overnight, but perfect practice leads to perfect performance. Let's continue to read God's word. Let's continue to walk in God's righteousness, and let's continue to not defile the land, but prepare the openness of the land for God's worship, God's presence, and God's companionship by even reading this hard book of rules and regulations, the book of Leviticus. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be unto God. Let us now look at our prayer list. We thank God for the worship leaders on last evening for sharing so many of our prayer requests already into the hearing of the brotherhood. In the third district, we'd like to lift up in prayer the William B.B. Prentice family, as their brother Prentice will be funeralized on Saturday. The Clark family, the Beidelman family, Kiera Beidelman, who still struggles with some health concerns. We continue to lift her up. The sick and shut in, and all ministry pastors and preachers will continue to pray for the father of Brother Carlton Witherspoon of Tupelo, Mississippi. Brother Mr. Witherspoon had a heart attack, and he is recovering. We're praying for Henderson. We're praying for Kim Henderson. We're praying for the cousin of Brother Bishop, J.F. Chase Jr., Wayne, who has terminal cancer. We know God specializes. We continue to pray for all of those who attend in this prayer call on a daily basis. We're praying for Brother Carl Valentine and his family. We continue to pray for Brother Logan and those who are responsible for his care. We're lifting up the family of Brother Smith, who was buried on Saturday. We're praying for the family of Deaconess Mary Freeney, who her husband, Deacon Howard Freeney, was laid to rest on Saturday. We're lifting up today in prayer. Just a second. We're lifting up today in prayer continually our brother, Grand Keeper of Records and Seal, Brother Sherman Charles, his mom, Lillian Charles, who is being evaluated and dealing with the results of having a stroke. These things are listed in our prayer request. Brothers, I do beg your, here they are. We're praying for Brother Horace Austin. We're praying for Brother Horace Austin and his family. Brother Felicia Scott, wife and college sweetheart of Brother Scott, unexpectedly transitioned. We're praying for her and her chapter sorority members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We continue to pray for Brother Delando Smith of Chicago, Illinois. We're praying for him as he is dealing with health challenges. We'll continue to lift up God on his behalf. We're asking God to remember Brother Eric Ely. Brother Eric Ely, we continue to God to continue to strengthen him and his body, as he is undergoing surgery today. And those who work with him as a part of his recovery and care team, we're praying for Miss Annie Cope, the mother of Brother Eric Cope, of Phi Kappa Kappa. She has moved to hospice care, and that God would provide her comfort and those who were responsible for her the comfort and which surpasses all understanding. We're praying for the mother of Brother Sean Williams, Barbara Williams, as she's dealing with Parkinson's and glaucoma, and all of those who deal with dementia and Alzheimer's and those who are responsible for the care of a loved one with that disease. We're praying continually for healing for Brother Byron Jones and Brother Eric Witherspoon as they have been submitted. We're asking God to continue praying for Brother Gregory Thigpen as he is in hospice care. We're believing God for their healing. We're praying continually for our elected leaders, our committee chairs, and their families who allow them to work in Omega and our undergraduate brothers. And as this is the season of seeking the dear light of Omega for all of those that pursue this noble cause, we pray for their safety, their protection, and that common wise spirits will be evident and around. Brothers, if there are additional prayer requests that we do have, let us hold them now in our hearts as we lift up men before God. Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening so that our collective and committed and consecrated, compassionate, and Christ-like hearts might be in tune. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, the balm of which soothes our aches and pains and provides remedy for our movement that we might function in a relaxed way, knowing that your strength and trust and hope is ours. Our God, who paints the sky with morning light to provide us an opportunity to see your goodness and your glory, who opens our ears to hear the functioning zephyr winds blow throughout our day, the chirping of new birds singing the melodies of yesterday's harmonies. Our God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whose love that we now enjoy in this rich and wonderful fellowship as we consider prayer and friendship essential to our souls. Bless now, O God, bless now our tongues to give you thanks. Bless now our heart to be filled with gratitude. Bless now our mind to be filled with reflection of yesterday's miracles of mercies and grandeurs of grace. You have done things before that you shall do now and even do in the future. And we stand ready to praise you, for we know that you are able. You've heard the list from glaucoma to cancer. We've heard the list, O God, of how you've healed and helped and hoped. You've heard the pleas and the passionate pleas for your people. Hear now these pleas on behalf of fathers and sons, sisters and brothers. We ask now, O God, hear now their pleas. Hear and answer by and by, even as we exercise the power of the prayer wheel. Now, God, we pray for our elected leaders. I pray for my district representative, Brother Kamado B. Morgan, immediate past, Brother Kevin Brown, and all of those who dare take the mantle of service. We pray for our elected leaders locally, our mayors and county executives, council members, aldermen. We pray for them. We pray for our governors, lieutenant governors, our state's attorney generals. We pray for our national leaders, the president and his cabinet, and Congress and those committee chairs. We pray for our world leaders, wherever they may be, presidents, premiers, however, kings or queens. But we know, God, that you are the super ruler. We ask now that you would hear our prayer and answer by and by. And even as we feel our little prayer wheels turning and know that this fire is burning, we can testify that we've had a talk with Jesus, and we know that you will make it all right. We love you, and we thank you and honor you in this way of prayer. We pray in your Son's name, the giver of every good and perfect gift. It is in that name, well used, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
I would have a gesture, brother.
I did.